History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by the U.S. Army, proudly honoring the men and women from every branch of our armed forces whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there. Yeah, right there where you live that really need to be told. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And in that journey, we learn so much. We're educated, of course, we're entertained, and often we really do come away inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. Last time, we met a decorated Navy fighter pilot, and I pointed you to his book, which is included under the library tab at hometownheroesradio.com. A book by one of the voices you're going to hear from today, Tom Rice, is linked there as well. Another section of that website is Causes, nonprofit organizations that we've encountered over the years of producing this program. And you've heard me talk a lot about the Honor Flight Network, about different museums around the country. Today, though, we're going to hear the story behind another organization serving World War II veterans. And one of the ways the Best Defense Foundation does that is to take those veterans back to the areas where they were fighting three quarters of a century ago. And we're doing this now because they're about to launch another adventure, traveling to the Netherlands for the 75th anniversary of Operation Market Garden, taking place September 17th to the 25th in 1944. It was at that point the largest airborne operation ever conceived. Over 100,000 Allied troops, British and American, trying to catch the enemy by surprise and push Nazi forces back across the Rhine River into Germany. If you've ever seen the movie A Bridge Too Far, you have a pretty good idea of what we're talking about. So this trip to return Market Garden veterans to the area where they battled the Germans is the latest adventure for the Best Defense Foundation. You can check out the organization at bestdefensefoundation.org. We also have it linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. But you might be surprised to learn that the man spearheading that effort is a former All-Pro linebacker who played 13 years in the NFL with the Chargers and Chiefs. Donnie Edwards joins us on the phone. Donnie, thanks for taking some time to join us before this massive undertaking you have next week. Can you help us understand where this all came from? Why you got so involved in honoring and serving these World War II veterans?
It's been a long haul. I've been taking care of World War II veterans for about 13 years now, and it all kind of started. I was doing kind of a nerd. I mean, I don't know how many pro football players were doing World War II reenactment, but I was back in 2003. I was doing World War II reenactment, and what we used to do for our events is to bring World War II veterans to the events, and they can go up there, they can speak and hang out, and a chance meeting with the veteran, we're just sitting back talking, and he was talking about going to Normandy. I was like, oh, you want to go back to Normandy? He's like, yes. I said, wow. I said, why don't you go back? He's like, I can't. I don't have the money. I'm too old. I can't do it. And I was like, really? I said, well, I'll take you. He's like, really? Oh, I would love that. I'm like, you want to go back to Normandy? Absolutely. And then the other veteran next to me was like, hey, I want to go too. I said, wait a minute. You guys want to go back there? I just really couldn't understand at the time. And all of a sudden, we had four or five veterans that all wanted to go back. And that's the way it kind of started. And I just said, well, I'll do it. I'll take you back. And back in 2006 was the first program and something that I was just, you know, helping these World War II veterans out to give them a chance to go back had developed. And I've been doing that for so many years after. And I was just paying for it out of my own pocket. And then after it just started growing and growing and growing, I didn't think that we could create a foundation from it. That's what we did. And things started getting bigger and bigger, and guys started knowing about me and taking veterans back, and it just grew. You know, just our programs with the World War II veterans, that's our battlefield programs, and we've been doing that for a long time, and we're just getting ready to go to Holland for the 75th anniversary of Operation Market Garden. And then the second, you know, thing we do is Operation Archive. We try to record the stories in perpetuity and make sure that we get them down on video so they'll live forever. And also, you know, we're into schools and try to educate our youth, the next generation, about the service and sacrifice and the duties of our World War II veterans. And the third part is our transition program. The last 6 years, I've been working with the NFL Legends community, which helps former players transition. And it was definitely something that was needed and just a chance conversation talking to one of my Navy SEAL friends said that we don't have anything like that for us. And then for the last year and a half, we've been creating the curriculum to help our special forces transition, give them a roadmap to success. So it's been wonderful. You know, we're growing, and I feel really good about where we are right now with the Best Defense Foundation. I mean, we're doing some good stuff, and I'm really proud. We have a great team with us. We're all volunteers. All the money that comes into the foundation, you know, we're a 501c3, goes directly back out to helping our veterans and educating our youth. So I'm pretty proud. It's fun. It's been awesome. It's also have given me something to do, a purpose to give back to our military. I kind of dedicated the second part of my life to giving back to the guys that gave so much to us. I mean, I wouldn't be in a situation of playing pro football and to have this platform to give back to our military if it wasn't for the game of football. Living in America and having this opportunity to play football, it changed my life. So I'm duly indebted to the guys that gave us freedom and opportunity. Just really proud of where we are.
Yeah, and I want people to know how they can help your mission, and I also want to hear more about this upcoming journey to the Netherlands. But let's talk about the inspiration for you, because you just said, you know, you wouldn't have the opportunity to play football without those who paid this price for freedom. But as I understand, you would have never even been born if your grandpa didn't make it home from World War II. When did you figure out what your grandfather had done in the service?
Well, my grandfather, Max Razzo, is a Native American, Apache Indian, and also Pearl Harbor survivor. I grew up without a father here in San Diego. And as you know, in San Diego, it's a big military town. We have a huge military base with our Navy and also with our Marine Corps. And all my family served in the military. Unfortunately, my father was never in my life. So I never had that father figure. And my grandfather, Max, was that father figure for me. And I got to tell you, early on, you know, grandparent has a background in the military. They teach you right. And early on, I knew exactly about country, about flag, about opportunity and freedom. I mean, every time you stand up straight, you put your hand over your heart and you look at that flag. I mean, he was so proud of his service. And I tell you, I mean, he wore his uniform very proudly. Hanging out with him, I mean, I used to hang out with him at the VFW and with all of his buddies. And I was taking care of him, grabbing their darts and racking the pool balls, stuff like that. So it's been wonderful for him to see what he's taught me. And I'm very proud to know that, you know, he was able to guide me and to push me. And he told me, you know, no matter where you come from in this country, if you work hard, you can achieve anything you want. And I never forgot that. I'm really happy that he had an opportunity to see me give back and to make it to the pros, to get educated, to go to UCLA, to get a master's. It's been wonderful. And he was the backbone of my life. I wouldn't be in the situation I am now if it wasn't for my grandfather.
Well, there's always something behind the story, and I know how proud he'd be of everything that you're doing with all these other World War II veterans. And it was fun for all of us to watch, you know, from wherever we were on June 6, 2019, in the 75th anniversary of D-Day. You had a big crew of veterans, a couple who have shared their stories here on this program. I think of Jerry Deitch and Leela Morrison, who are part of your group going back there. I know you've done a lot of these trips to different parts of the world, but that D-Day trip with the President of the United States and the President of France and so many world leaders there with all these veterans who you made it possible to get there. What was that experience like for you?
No, it was wonderful. It really was. I had to tell you, Paul, our budget was for 8 veterans to take back. But, you know, my heart is so big. It's like one of these deals where we get more and more veterans that want to go back. So we start getting all these calls and, you know, applications coming into the foundation. And, you know, 8 led to 10, led to 12. You know, then we get a call from the Pentagon, and they want another veteran to come and, you know, to go back. And before you know it, we're at 16. It's the most we've ever taken back, 16 veterans, you know, back for the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And I just knew that this is a Super Bowl of all Super Bowls, and we got to do it right. We made it happen. 16 veterans back. It's incredible, incredible time. So many different events, ceremonies, activities, and it's just really wonderful to have Leela Morrison with us as well. I mean, she was amongst 15 male World War II veterans, and she fit right in there just like it was. 75 years, she was in the group and, you know, and just a part of the group. And have an opportunity to meet the president, having him come out there halfway across the world just to thank our veterans for what they did is just really special. I think everyone got so much out of it. I mean, I did as well. It was just really, truly one for the history books. I'm really proud all of our veterans got an opportunity to go back and to pay the respects and to connect and one last time.
And so now your next journey, as you said, is this next week, going back to the Netherlands, commemorating 75 years since Operation Market Garden. And I know over the years, I mean, you knew a lot about World War II and you knew what that generation was like from your grandfather, but I can't imagine how much you've learned from all these veterans spending so much time with them. In your mind, why is it important to recognize what happened in the Netherlands 75 years ago?
I think so many people forget. You know, everybody hears about D-Day and Normandy, but, you know, especially for a lot of units, the battle in Holland, Operation Market Garden, was one of the largest airborne operations. And, you know, we really try to push through to get to Germany to end the war. There's a lot of people that suffered and lost their lives. And, you know, people talk about how difficult D-Day was. But Holland was, you know, very challenging as well. A lot of guys lost their lives out there. And I want to make sure that we don't forget about that. I know it was a failed attempt to get to Germany, but the Dutch people are some of the greatest people ever. I mean, they love our U.S. military and veterans from World War II. I mean, there's so much love out there, and the people are great. So much going on with our U.S. cemetery out there, Margraten. They have a program called the Faces Project of Margraten, and they put a picture of all the KIA that are buried there. And also, they have an adoption. So each grave at Margraten is adopted by a Dutch family. It is really special. I mean, I've seen events that they have where they bring out the whole entire city. I mean, kids all the way up to grandparents. I mean, it's just really, really special. It's a great opportunity to go, you know, back out there because so many veterans have so many memories. I remember it so well. And when they went through and they liberated some of the towns there, I mean, just the love and support they got from the Dutch people, just really special.
And the folks that you're taking with you, now, one of them we've had on this program, and you've known him longer than I have, Tom Rice. I think the whole world saw him on D-Day when he jumped out of an airplane again at age 97. Now he's 98, and he doesn't plan on stopping jumping anytime soon. You're actually going to let him jump out of a plane again in the Netherlands? Is that right?
Well, he's telling me he's going to jump. So he's like, Donnie, I want to jump. And I said, okay, we'll try to make that happen. We found a way to make it happen. He's going to be Dutch. He's going to be jumping with the Dutch Special Forces on September 19th. Tom expects to jump every year until he's 101 years old. And I got to tell you, he's going to do it. He's 98 years young. The guy's so active. I mean, he just walked a 5K over the bridge here in San Diego. I mean, the guy is incredible. You know, I don't know how many marathons he's run. I don't know if you know that, but he's been active for a long, long time. And he's a special guy. I mean, they don't make him like Tom Rice anymore. And I'm really fortunate to have him right here in my backyard in San Diego. I mean, he was a teacher at my high school, Chula Vista High School, and also went to our rival high school at Hilltop. He's actually going to be recognized this weekend on Saturday at his other school, Hilltop, at the football game. So that's going to be pretty cool. But, yeah, Tom is a special guy. And I'm really, really, you know, happy that he's coming out. He represents not only himself, but he represents that whole generation. You know, he's a 501st, you know, regiment. It's pretty powerful to have someone like him, like Tom, because he's so articulate. I don't know where he gets his, I don't know where he finds it, but when he's telling stories and he can tell you the temperature, how long it was, you know, I mean, it's incredible. If you hear stories from Tom Rice, it's he almost puts you right there in the fight. I mean, I can't tell you how many things that I've learned from our, you know, from our World War II veterans that have maybe changed the direction of my life. I mean, I'm doing this right now, giving back and starting a foundation and doing this nonprofit because of a conversation I had with a World War II veteran. Because right after I got done playing, I was going to go into do TV and stay the whole deal. And I played 30 years of football. You know, and I've had that conversation, just kind of changing my trajectory and started doing this, and it's all because of a conversation with the World War II veteran.
Well, and I wanted to have you on now so people are paying attention, because the D-Day 75th anniversary got so much coverage. I don't think all the networks will be tuned in to Market Garden the same way they were in D-Day, but folks can follow you on social media, on all the platforms, the Best Defense Foundation. How else can they help, Donnie? If people want to support the mission, if they want to create these opportunities for more veterans to go back to where they fought and to have these experiences, what's the best thing they can do to help that?
The best thing they can do, I mean, obviously, we're only able to run through our donations. As you know, it costs a lot of money to, you know, send a veteran to the top of Mount Suribachi to make it happen, to make sure that he gets there, you know, that he gets there safely and healthy. You know, like I said, we're all volunteers. So all the funds that come in to our foundation goes directly back out to our World War II veterans. You know, no one's making any money at all. We just want to make sure that we honor and recognize. And, you know, as we push forward, I think one of the biggest things we want to do is push our Operation Archive. It's these stories about our World War II veterans and our military to make sure that we get that out there. You know, we're creating a school initiative right now to get it out there for the kids to interview veterans, to get it down, you know, to put it on video and to learn about what they went through. And also just with our programs that we have, you know, just continue to support. And however that is, I mean, like I said, we're all volunteers and we're just trying to pay it forward to our military veterans.
And what a powerful way to do that. Donnie Edwards of the Best Defense Foundation. There's a lot to explore on their website at bestdefensefoundation.org. Also linked for you on our site, hometownheroesradio.com. And we're not done with this former All-Pro linebacker just yet. We'll have more from Donnie when we come back. Plus, his fellow San Diegan, 98-year-old Tom Rice, a paratrooper in World War II who started jumping out of airplanes again in his 90s and just won't quit. Tom has told his story here on Hometown Heroes, but we're going to hear what he's been up to lately and what he's about to be up to here in 2019, 75 years after his combat jumps into occupied Europe. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.
Proudly presented by the U.S. Army, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, learning about the Best Defense Foundation today. In a bit, we'll hear from 98-year-old Tom Rice, who will again reenact one of his parachute jumps from 75 years ago when he marks the anniversary of Operation Market Garden in the Netherlands this month. His journey there is made possible by the Best Defense Foundation, a nonprofit founded by 13-year NFL linebacker Donnie Edwards, the grandson of a Pearl Harbor survivor. Before we get to Tom, I've got a few more questions for Donnie.
I'm curious because, you know, there's so many parallels people try to draw between the military and sports, and especially the sport of football, where, you know, you have coaches who are like generals. You have that discipline. You know, it takes 11 guys all pulling on the same end of the rope on a play for it to work. With all that experience in the NFL, 13 years, and all those teammates you had and the bonds that you formed, have you had some feedback from some of your former teammates about your life's work now that you and your wife and all these volunteers are taking on?
Yeah, it's been wonderful. I mean, I have a lot of support from some of my former teammates, actually. They know what I've been doing. I mean, this has been 13 years of taking care of our World War II veterans, because right now they're in their twilight years of their life, and now's the time to do it. If these guys want to go back, we got to make it happen. I mean, there's been times where I spent 4 or 5 months out of the country just doing programs, taking guys back. And it's really special because they know where my heart is. And the second part of my career is just about giving back and trying to make a difference, you know, being of service. I'm doing that right now with our NFL players. I'm trying to help in terms of the transition. And I'm doing it right now with our World War II veterans. And I've been very fortunate to have my brothers that I played with and played against from the NFL, you know, supported me in all things I do. I've also, you know, I've done 9 USO tours, and I've done 2 USO tours this year with football players. So we, you know, we do that, and they support, and they continue to support me with donations as well. And a lot of them want to be a part. We're going to continue to grow that and make that happen.
So everybody can go to bestdefensefoundation.org. You can donate there. You can learn about all the programs that Donnie and his team are putting together. And I know when you started, you had no idea where this was going to go. But have you thought about in the future where you'd like it to go? Is there a goal or a target you have in your mind for how long you want to do this, or some other things that could be possible if enough support materializes behind you?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely would love to grow. There's so many ideas that we have just in terms of our battlefield program with Korea, Vietnam, and giving our recent retired veterans an opportunity to go back to see, you know, where the history was made, especially like in D-Day and Operation Market Garden as well. But also in terms of Operation Archive, I mean, there's so many things that I want to do, but as you know, it just takes funds to make it happen. And, you know, I'm willing to do what I can to put it forward to make it happen. And the only thing that's really stopping us is just funds, you know, to continue to grow. Ideally, I would love to hire an executive director. That would be great. That can do it full time, you know, because, as you know, it takes a lot of work. And I want to be able to do the things that I do well and also have a little bit of support. But as you know, with volunteers, it's a little tough sometimes. because you can only get so much support. But, you know, as we grow, I just think that, you know, we'll definitely get more of a solid foundation. And we'll see. The sky's the limit because we have the right people that are on our team that are believing, that understand our mission, and we're going to keep pushing it as long as we can.
Just a couple more questions for you, and I don't know if they're easy ones. I'm sure it's hard to pick one thing out of all the experiences you've had and the depth and the richness of that. But when you think about the why of your foundation, the why behind all the hours that you and your family and all these volunteers have put in, is there one story, one moment, one unexpected experience you had overseas in one of these battlefield returns, or maybe something else that just you think of when you think of the why behind this mission?
It's very simple. It's just making a difference and seeing that smile on their face to know that they recognize and understand, like, our love for them. I mean, I got one right now. I was thinking about a situation that happened in D-Day, this past program that we had in Normandy. Pete Shaw, one of our veterans, was introducing himself to our team at our welcome dinner. And, you know, he's never been back in 75 years. And, you know, I didn't think to get any attention or anything like that. But, you know, when he stood up and he, you know, just wanted to thank us, to thank our team, Best Defense, myself, my wife, and everybody a part of it, to giving him this opportunity to go back, because he thought he'll never, ever in his lifetime have opportunity to go back. And for him to say, you know, this is one of the best times of my life. You know, after all these years, I can find that closure and to be back here with my brothers. It's because of the Best Defense Foundation. And that just really touched me. And that's why we do what we do, you know, to give these guys an opportunity because they deserve it. They're the ones that paid it forward for us to live the life that we live. We're so fortunate, and it's the least that we can do. And that's why I continue to do it.
One final question, and again, maybe it's not easy. I know that, you know, with the life that you've had and the influences you've had, I'm sure there are a lot of things that have stuck with you from your grandpa, from coaches, from teammates. But is there one thing that you have learned or that a veteran shared with you, whether it's a piece of advice or just a realization, is there one thing you think of that was the most valuable thing you've gleaned or learned or taken from all these relationships with these World War II vets?
Yeah, I think the overlying thing that I've learned was be of service. You know, at the end of the day, what's life all about? You know, what's life all about? It's not about acquiring things. It's about making a difference in other people's lives. You know, if you have an opportunity to put a smile on someone's face and make a difference and to be humble, to be nice, to be grateful, that's what it comes down to. And I realize that, you know, when you look at these guys that are well into their 90s and the twilight years of their life and to see what it's all about. And those are the things that I just think that are important. That's why I choose to live my life the way I live now. It's about giving back, being of service, and trying to make a difference. I got to tell you, Paul, like sometimes I get more out of it than I think that they do by giving back and making a difference. And I want to continue to do that.
Amen. And again, we're talking to Donnie Edwards of the Best Defense Foundation. In a few minutes, we're going to hear from one of his favorite vets, 98-year-old Tom Rice, a 101st Airborne veteran of World War II. But something just popped in my head, Donnie. When you have these veterans on these battlefield returns together as a group, you ever notice, you ever see them forming the same kind of connection in those short trips that I hear so many veterans reflect on in terms of the men they served with 75 years ago?
Before you know it, Paul, like after like 10 days, man, they're just like, you know, they're back in the foxhole together with their brothers. You know, it's that camaraderie and that brotherhood. Things that I see playing ball that I loved, that I miss now. You know, that locker room deal, you know, with all my guys. I'm able to help create that for these guys one last time, you know, back in a whole different situation, you know, where there's celebration and there's people that are thanking them and stuff versus like what they saw 75 years ago, which is much different.
Exactly. And if you didn't stick with it and get them there, they'd never experience that.
Yeah. They'll never know. Yeah. But now, the 16 veterans that we took back for Normandy to see thousands of people out there just wanted to like say thank you, kiss them on the cheek and say thank you for liberating our country. That's what they're never going to forget. And that's why, you know, we made it happen for these guys. And we're going to continue to do it. It's important. It's that final closure to go back and know that, you know, here's what I did when I was 18, 19, 20, and then like living my life, raising a family, having a job. Now they're back in that part of reflection where they're looking back now. And to have this opportunity to go back, that something that happened so long ago, before the kids, before everything, to go back and see, wow, this is pretty incredible. This is pretty incredible. And they don't forget. 75 years later, they do not forget. When you ask me for, like, a situation, I mean, another one. Jerry Deitz is like, we have, you know, 50 people at our chateau. Everything's going on. Everybody's talking. And he calls me over, pulls me to the side. Donnie? You know, Jerry, I just want to thank you. I never in my life thought that this would be, you know, what it is. And I'm having the time of my life. This is wonderful. I lost it. You know, like, I mean, I get emotional, but I just lost it. You know what I mean? It's like I was working so hard, you know. And he was one of the guys who wanted to go, didn't want to go, then, you know, and just kind of quiet, never really talked about it. But I think this has given him so much more of a motivation, like, to tell his story now, to get out there. This gives him something to take pride in and to go and speak. And I try to, like, push all the guys to, you know, in their area to go to schools. Give them 1,000 cards, like football trading cards that, you know, that I had made for them. They get 1,000 of those cards that they can give out and pass out. And when they do their speaking engagements, and it's a great little way to continue a conversation, get people talking about it, especially with schools, but, you know, with kids. I think this is my 28th program that I've taken veterans outside the country. Is that crazy?
Wow.
I mean, to the top of Mount Suribachi, Iwo Jima, I mean, it's Italy. I mean, just everywhere, all these different places. It's wonderful. I get so much out of it. And if I can put a smile on their face, that's what it's about. Wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for them.
That's right.
And I recognize that. I just try to bring that message to the rest of the people. You know, because people, it's funny when I talk to people, like, I forget who I was talking to last night. We still have World War II veterans alive? I was like, wow. I said, yeah, absolutely, absolutely we do. Oh, yeah, we do. And they're probably more active than you and I are. You'd be surprised. But that's what we're facing. So we want to make sure that, you know, before they're all gone, that, you know, we tell their story so our generation don't forget about what they did to provide us this life that we live in now. Not only this country, but this world. Mm-hmm. Think about it. I mean, everyone's so fixated on, like, you know, if Twitter goes down or Instagram goes down, that's the biggest worry that you have right now. You know, I mean, if you think about it, put it to perspective, I mean, come on. Like, there's no food. There's no rubber. Like, everyone had to, like, put their – everyone, the whole entire country had to put themselves together just to survive. And we're worried about Twitter these days. Let's not forget about how we got to this place, because it just doesn't happen, you know, that you can be who you are, dress however you want, and say what you want about the president, about whomever, and there's no repercussions. You try to do that in Russia. Or China, and see what happens. There's something to be said about our freedom, and I think about that every time I go to a cemetery and I see all those crosses, and I know that they gave their lives so that we can have the life that we live. And I recognize that. They never got a chance to live a full life. Here they are fighting for our rights and our freedom and our way of life, and they never had a chance to experience that. And we owe it to them. As some of the veterans says, those are the real heroes, not us. Those are the real heroes.
And thousands of Americans lost their lives in Operation Market Garden 75 years ago. This next journey for the Best Defense Foundation will honor their memories and return some of the survivors to that ground they fought over in Holland. Thanks again to Donnie Edwards for all his time today, and more importantly, for his ongoing efforts to create a unique experience for these veterans before it's too late. If you're inspired by what you heard, I hope you're going to give the Best Defense Foundation a follow on social media and take some time to sort through the photos, video, and information on that website, bestdefensefoundation.org. When we come back, Tom Rice, paratrooper 75 years ago, still jumping at 98. You heard Donnie say he wants to jump till he's 101? We'll see if we can get Tom to confirm that for us when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.
Honoring veterans from sea to shining sea, you're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by the U.S. Army. Find your place on the Army team at goarmy.com/warriors.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, familiarizing you today with the work of the Best Defense Foundation, one of a growing number of nonprofits committed to making sure our veterans know how much they're valued. You heard from the founder of that foundation, former NFL All-Pro linebacker Donnie Edwards. Now let's hear from one of the veterans he talked about, the indefatigable Tom Rice, now 98 years old. And if you haven't heard Tom's World War II story on Hometown Heroes, I encourage you to go back and listen to his original appearance in our archives online. A paratrooper with the 101st Airborne, he jumped into Normandy, survived the Battle of the Bulge, but in between experienced intense fighting in the Netherlands as part of Operation Market Garden. That's why he's headed back to Holland for the 75th anniversary next week. But let's start out, Tom, by getting a little reaction from you about that trip you just made to France in June for D-Day's 75th anniversary.
Oh, it was amazing. I just cannot thank enough people for all of the things they've been doing, trying to do, and did do for us. Everywhere we turned, it was a reenactment for the most part. We drove in a Jeep up Carentan Main Boulevard, and there must have been 30,000 people, 10 deep on each side of the road. And then they delivered me to the grandstand, and I met the commanding United States military four-star general who commands all of the American forces in Europe. And next to him was the commanding general, two-star general of the 101st Airborne. So they put me in between, and Brenda was really cute about it. She wanted the general to move over and so she could take a picture. She was maneuvering the generals around like they'd never been moved before. So it was travel thither and yon, and at La Barquette Locks, a scene took place. There must have been 150 reenactors there. And guys were standing all over the locks, all over the causeway. There must have been 500 people there crowding in. A lady came up. She was the granddaughter of Sam Glenn, who was a 504 parachute infantry, as best I can figure now. She had his All-American 82nd Airborne patch and showed me. And she had been holding it for 35 years because her grandfather, Sam Glenn, wanted her to give it to some GI and have it jumped on a 75th. So she came to the right place at the right time, and she was crying like you just couldn't believe. So she told me the story, and then she walked away, and then she came back and crying even more. So that must have been 150 people right close by that were all crying. It was the most emotional scene I've ever been into in my life, and that is a story to be retold in itself. So the museum thought they had the right of possession of the AA patch, 82nd Airborne, and they wanted it surrendered to them, and I refused to do it. So I gave it to a Belgique historian who's doing some writing, and he's going to research the whole thing, and it's going to be on display when and where he's ready. So that's just the opening of a fabulous day-by-day activity that went on. It was the mayor of Carentan when I jumped. Did you see the photographs of that jump?
Yes.
Okay, we had, somebody says we had a hard landing, but I don't believe it. But the mayor rushed out, and he's my best friend, and he said to the historian who's previewing the jump that this is the most emotional time I've ever had in my life, he said. And so that's the way. That was just two or three incidents that took place. So going back was a good way to end up a closure. While we're trained in Camp Dakota, Georgia, most of our officers on the battalion level were West Pointers. And they threw chaos at us every single day. And they had something in mind. And the idea was to force us to approach fear in a manner in which we could dissect it and take it apart, tear apart fear, and then develop some courage that will ameliorate or get rid of the fear. So we had a lot of that to do. For instance, we jumped off a dam and into the water and full field pack and rifle, and if you lost your rifle, you were in deep trouble. There was some, the 506 went through a activity that Colonel Sink had pig antlers and pig heads and all kinds of pig parts spread around in the area, and the guys had to crawl through that. The 501 didn't have to do that because it didn't have any more pigs, but that's some of the things that we did. So we developed a method of facing a chaotic situation by reducing it to a danger, and then tuck that method back in the convoluted areas of our mind where men seldom go, and we faced another danger maybe a week or so or the next day, who knows, and reduce that danger to an inconvenience. Do the same thing, and pretty soon we bundled up a lot of courage that hopefully ended up in bravery when we did face an enemy. We could spit in his eye and get even with him. So those things went on, and it worked for me because in Holland, the Germans were coming over the dike into an orchard, and A Company and B Company were at one of the long ends of the orchard, and C Company, we got around behind them, and a flare went up about 150 feet in the air and about 100 yards from me, and it was over the apple orchard, and the orchard was, for the most part, unattended for a long period of time, and our trees were rotted, and I got caught right on the top of a barbed wire fence. So I just froze there with my arms sticking out and pretended to be an old rotted apple tree. I'm sure they saw me, but I hope that they thought I was an apple tree. And it happened a second time when I took out a patrol in Bass Stone. We came to a fork in the road, and I had two scouts with me and a couple of guys behind. And they were trying to hurry up to catch up, and were slowed down by barbed wire fences that marked off this downslope into corrals for animals. So it was seesaw a little bit there. So I sent one guy by the name of John Thomas up the left fork of the road, and he was tracking through the ice. And I noticed 50 yards ahead of him, John Thomas, was the machine guns were hitting into the ditch in which he was crawling. So it appeared to me the Germans were not going to shoot at him because they were just trying to get the range that we would be within that ditch. And all of us sooner or later would crawl up that ditch because John Thomas was there. I saw that, so I told the scout right next to me, Art Texier, to call John Thomas back, and we sent him up the right fork of the road. Well, in the meantime, I was down very low, and my knee looked like my head. And this was a telescopic activity by a German sniper at about 450 yards in a building about 3 to 5 stories high and about 8 or 9 windows in it. And he was back in there where he couldn't be seen. So we were under observation. He fired one shot, thinking my knee was my head. But it did hit my knee just above the kneecap, and it was bleeding. Just nicked the artery, and so I knew I was hit. So I told Texier to give me a shot of morphine because Lieutenant Bonelli gave me 18 cigarettes of morphine in case any problem developed. So he gave me a shot, and I told him to go on back in, take the rest of the guys in. The patrol's over, so I'm here by myself, and. And I had to get up to test that leg to see if it was broken. So when I did, I stood up, took one step with my right foot, and my right arm came up at about parallel to my ear, and another shot was fired. That hit me in the right arm radius. That took out about 6 inches of bone. My helmet came off, and my submachine gun dropped, and I dove for the haystack right across the street. But before I did that, the sniper reloaded real quick, or there was a second sniper with him, and the third shot went right by my ear. Now, I was up there maneuvering my head right and left and my arms up and down and my body in all different directions, so he couldn't get a good telescopic view of me, and it worked. That's why I'm here today, because I did that, and because of the officers who taught us how to do that and the meaning of that, manufacture as much courage as possible, bundle it up and tuck it in the back end of your mind and turn it into bravery when you need to. You could call upon it. So I did, and here I am.
Yeah, here you are, and there you go again. You're going back to the Netherlands to mark the 75th anniversary of Operation Market Garden. Now, when the D-Day's 75th anniversary, we saw you everywhere. You're on the NBC Nightly News. You're on other broadcasts. I know they're doing a documentary about that. But so often, people don't hear or don't know enough about what you guys did in the Netherlands this time of year in 1944. What are you hoping to accomplish by going back there and jumping out of yet another airplane?
I was at a Chino air show and signing documents, and a lady came up. And she asked me somewhat the same question. What did you Americans expect to accomplish when you came to Europe? Well, I put my pen down and put my arm on the deck there, and I told her, lady, when the Germans came, they came with the bell rungs. When we came with rifles, grenades, artillery, and everything you can imagine. The second time we came with the Bill of Rights. And we restored life, liberty, and property back to the French nation so that they could live the way they had lived before, hopefully. All of those incidents that I just explained and mentioned to you were closures for me. So I had a lot of closures to accomplish. And Donnie Edwards and his organization, Honor Flight, and the Greatest Generation have given me an opportunity by returning to Europe 6 and 7 times to close down some of these issues, meet the people for the most part that wanted to talk to me, shake hands, give them a hug, and come home safe.
Donnie Edwards said that your plan is to continue jumping until you're 101 years old, and you're only 3 years away from that.
I'm going to stick with it. The trips back to Europe are getting pretty intense, you know, and they want to extend them, and there's a lot of distance to travel there, so we may have to cut back a little bit on that, but I can jump here east of Chula Vista, East Lake. I know the people there, so they'll let me jump with them. We'll go to 13,000 feet and bail out and open up at 6,000 and float around and enjoy the ride.
The first time I met you, you told me that jumping is your way of honoring all your fellow paratroopers, and especially those who didn't come home, and that was the best way you knew how. Now that you've been doing it so long, I mean, 7 or 8 years you've been doing these jumps in your 90s now, what's the best thing or the most satisfying or rewarding, fulfilling thing that has come out of that for you?
The reaction of the French, they are so absolutely super perfect as patriots. They know what we did, how we did it, and when we went in, they understood we were always surrounded. You know, they helped us wherever they could to destroy the enemy, and so they were super people. They want to reinvest some of their energy into us by meeting us and shaking hands, taking us throughout the country wherever we go. I jumped at Montpellier 2 years ago at 13,000. They closed the airport. No incoming traffic, no airplanes coming or going. And we jumped at 13,000, and we had a great time there. We did the jumping to honor those guys that, for the most part, were killed, captured, for the life of me, I can't accept that they gave their life away. That's a lot of baloney. They had it taken. They had it taken. So the American public has got to reinvest some of their interest in what happened to these guys and how it happened. And more information has got to be released. So you hopefully that there's enough of them still around. I think only maybe 3% that can still talk. So I do what I can to honor these guys that didn't come back, that were captured, were killed, who walked away, who didn't want any more to do with it, didn't even want to see a gun, etc., and honor them. I did that in a dedication to my book called Trial by Combat. And the book has been published in Sweden. So they're going to have a look at it also. Maybe we can get it published in French. I don't know, but we'll see. But that's my goal, and who knows what will happen. Life goes on at its petty pace from day to day till the last syllables are recorded time. I was a teacher for 44 years. I was an athlete for 51 years and wore out both knees. My last one, I was a soldier for 4 years. And so we've explored the soldiering. We've explored the running and explored everything else that's possible. So I figure I've got about 795 days left.
Well, that'll get you to 101, huh?
Yeah, hopefully that'll get me to 101. So I got some competition out there. There's a lady who's 104. I don't know, she's probably got one or two jumps in, but she's an old gal, and they took her away in a wheelchair afterwards. She wasn't injured or not, but she's kind of confined there. And there's another fellow in Australia who is 102, and he's got a couple jumps. So I got some competition in front of me.
Well, 101 was a good number for you during the war, so I
trust
that
would
be a good number for you again.
I'm not going to sit in a chair and rock to sleep and be stoned to death, so I'm still moving.
Yeah.
Still vertical and still breathing. So I'll conclude with saying pain makes man think, thought makes man wise, and wisdom makes life endurable.
98 years worth of wisdom and counting for Tom Rice. Keep an eye out for him jumping again in the Netherlands next week. That trip with Donnie Edwards and the Best Defense Foundation will also take him to Hitler's famed Eagle's Nest hideaway in Berchtesgaden, another place he visited under very different circumstances 75 years ago. You can stay up to date with Tom and the other veterans on that journey by following the Best Defense Foundation on your favorite social media platforms. The website is bestdefensefoundation.org, and of course I have that linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com. That's all the time we have today, but thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by the U.S. Army, building a new generation of leaders at goarmy.com/warriors.